The Strong Museum of Play in Rochester, New York, announced it will be the home of a new National Archives of Game Show History, the first of its kind. They hope to honor all the people who have shaped the industry from over the years, from big names like Vanna White from Wheel of Fortune to behind-the-scenes stories from producers. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite game show of all time? Do you enjoy game shows or have some memories of watching them? Were you ever a participant on a game show? Love to hear what that was like, or part of a studio audience. Do you think they're an important part of our entertainment culture? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Chris Bench is chief curator of the National Archives of Game Show History at the Strong Museum of Play in Rochester. We started a conversation with him earlier this month, had some technical issues, or whammies, if you will, on our end. Chris, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Rob. Great being here.
Well, remind us, we talked to you just briefly before, remind us why we want to pay attention here to game shows as part of our pop culture history.
Well, I think the competition right now for the replacement host on Jeopardy makes clear that loads of people care about game shows, about their impact on popular culture, their impact on our lives, and that it's essential that we preserve this form in a way that hadn't been attended to before now.
Right. Can you talk about how maybe it's been overlooked so far? We don't have museums and archives tackling our game show history.
We don't. So I was thrilled about a year ago when two veteran producers of game shows came to us and said, we're missing out. Our legendary performers, our back of the house sorts of professionals, lots of people are passing on. We're missing out on preserving their stories. They have been such a big part of American popular culture, really from the days of radio, almost a century of game shows. And today, they are more present than ever before. More nighttime hours of broadcast television are devoted to game shows than even at what we consider the peak. And I bet loads of your listeners are current watchers or have heritages of their favorites from days gone by.
And if you're listening and you do have a favorite, you can call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What is your favorite game show? Do you have a favorite host? Have you ever been to one? Call 800-642-1234 as we talk to Chris Bench about a new National Archives of Game Show History. Chris, those stories you mentioned, that's going to be a focus, right? Can you talk about the sort of, oral histories you're hoping to collect?
That's right. We do want some of those front of the set kind of people, those hosts and hostesses, those announcers that we all think of when we think of our favorite shows. But we also want the multitude of people who go together to make these shows happen. Who could think of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire without the lighting designer who created that dramatic spotlight effect when people are answering questions, or the jingles and sounds, or the mechanical devices that turn clues on the screen, and those have moved into digital realms. So much, so many facets of craft and artistry and forethought to make these successful products.
Well, you mentioned Jeopardy. I want to give a listen to a moment from the long-running show, a bit of a funny moment from contestants Max and Kevin on the show, the category Most Populous Nation.
Populous Nation, 400.
Israel, Lebanon, Syria. Max.
What is Israel?
No. Kevin.
What is Syria?
Right.
Nation, 600.
Switzerland, Sweden, Swaziland. Max.
What is Switzerland?
No. Kevin.
What is Sweden?
Right.
Nation, 800.
Pakistan, Bangladesh, Indonesia. Max.
What is Pakistan?
No. Kevin.
What is Indonesia?
Yes.
Most populous nation, 1,000.
Portugal, Colombia, Peru. Max.
What is Peru?
No. Kevin.
What is Colombia?
Right. Oh. No fun for Max, but a good run for...
process of elimination there, I guess, Chris. And that, I mean, that also illustrated one of the things that I liked about Jeopardy. It's like bang, 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 question after question, not lots of chit chat in between. I don't know. Is that part of the appeal of why Jeopardy is such a standout among talk shows or game shows?
It is. And in fact, I was participating in a conversation with one of our co-founders, Bob Bowden, recently, who's produced so many shows. And his analysis of Jeopardy was the top level of questions, or I should say answers on the board, are ones that practically everyone can get. In between that and that bottom row, there are lots of ones that you can say, oh, I almost knew that, or you can shout out an answer. And that lowest row, the most difficult ones, are ones that you sort of say, wow, that's fascinating. I never knew that. So different ways for all the viewers to feel good about themselves as well as excited about shouting out those answers in their home, family room, or living room.
Now, getting back to the archive, you're not just interested in oral histories. You're also, I understand, hoping to get some stuff. What kind of physical artifacts are you on the hunt for?
We would love things called shell scripts. That's what the overall structure of a game show episode looks like, because it's very structured and thought out beforehand. I am currently getting tickets from game show studio audience members. I am waiting for the delivery of a category card from a winning participant on the $20,000 pyramid. So things that represent the studio audience, represent the contestants, represent the craft that goes into making these shows. All of those are things we hope to get. Plus those really showy items. We want the wheel from the Wheel of Fortune if we can get it, or the pyramid from Pyramid.
I know, I believe with your other exhibits at the Museum of Play, there are some hands-on and interactive things. Are you, Chris, going to host your own game show there?
I am looking forward to that. In fact, we have game show contestants on our staff here. Our archivist, Julia Novakovic, has been a contestant on Jeopardy, on Millionaire as well. So she can speak to what it's like being on the set. And we are hoping that everyone, when we get around in a few years to doing a game show exhibit, you'll feel like you are the contestant right there with the answers, meeting the challenges.
Now, of course, when I think game show, I think TV game show, Chris. But I think you've mentioned before to us that a lot of these started, this whole genre started on radio, which I want to hear more about. Are you looking to tap into that era as well?
That would be lovely. That's reaching a little bit back further into our history. So, but people transitioned from radio to television in so many ways, whether that was variety shows or comedy. And maybe there are a few long-term veterans who got their start in radio and have those memories to share with us today. I would love to get that continuity.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Oleg is with us in La Crosse. Oleg, hi.
Hello.
What do you want to tell us about?
I want to tell you, so I am a first-generation immigrant to America. My parents immigrated when I was 12 years old, and I remember the first game show that caught my attention was The Price is Right with Bob Barker as the host. You know, can't get much more classic than that. And I remember, you know, I was 12 years old, and my English wasn't even perfect yet. And by rights, what did I care about prices of consumer goods? But Bob Barker had such an inimitable style and was such a great showman that I tuned in every day to this show, just to hear him, take people through this game of guessing prices of consumer goods.
Awesome. Oleg, thank you so much for sharing that story. I want to give a listen to The Price is Right. Contestants here guessing the price of a Honda Elite 80 motor scooter to get a chance to participate on stage.
And you get to bid on this first, Barbara.
$1,700.
$1,700, Michael.
Exactly, $2,148.
His bid is $2,148. That's an interesting bid. How did you settle on $2,148?
I seen that on there last week, and that was the exact price. I know that's what it is. I seen that. I watch you every day. I watch you every day, Bob.
But Oleg and that contestant watched every day, Chris. And also we heard on Facebook from Brandy, who has memories of watching The Price is Right. Ah, and I remember doing this too, when Brandy was homesick as a kid. The Price is Right. Can you talk about where that stands as you're looking at the history of game shows?
You know, some of these shows are truly evergreen. They go on for decades, and people sort of pass them along as family traditions. Is this what you do while you watch, as you have dinner every night, or before dinner, or some kind of structure? So we really build so much of our behaviors around some of these shows that get incredible longevity and incredible loyalty from the audience.
We're picking up our talk now with Chris Bench, chief curator of the National Toy Hall of Fame at the Strong Museum of Play in Rochester, New York. We're talking about game shows, their history, their new archive at that museum, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Want to hear your favorite game show or your favorite game show watching memory, or if you've ever been a part of a studio audience, you could share that experience too. Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We heard on Facebook from Darren when we asked about shows, Match Game. And Chris, that reminds me, there were a whole bunch of shows back in the 70s, I think, and early 80s that I remember watching as a kid, often what maybe while homesick from school. They often had B-list celebrities who I only knew because they were on, like Paul Lynde on Hollywood Squares. What are you looking for to tell the story of that era, of those shows that aren't with us anymore?
That is definitely something that taps into my personal memories. Yes, Hollywood Squares was one of my guilty pleasures when I was home with the flu and a little bright spot in the draggy day of drinking ginger ale and napping. So those kinds of things, yes, those B-list celebrities who took that niche on the television game shows and ran with it. And one of the things that I love is that so many of us wanted to be on those shows so much that we bought the board game version. There were so many of those out there. Password, Hollywood Squares, Jeopardy, Price is Right. All of those had game versions for the home audience, and you could play it around the card table and see whether you could do as well as the TV contestants.
Well, now knowing you as I do, Chris, I'm guessing that the Museum of Play already has some of those home games on hand, right?
We do. So I've been looking for those. We have them in tabletop versions. We also have them in their computer and video game versions. And we are looking for more. We don't have all of those. So I just told a donor that we would love about 50 of his personal games of that home consumer variety.
Well, if you have the home version of a famous game show, love to hear from you now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Still time for you to call in with your personal favorite game show of all time, 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Chris, we're hearing from more people online than on the phone. Maybe that means something. I don't know, but we heard from James, who says the most interesting game show he ever watched was called Mastermind on the BBC when he was over there for a summer. He always thought PBS could try an American version of the show. I've never seen that. I know there have been a lot of game shows, including Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, that have moved from country to country.
There are, and Mastermind has a reputation amongst game show fans of being really brainy. And I can see why the PBS connection is there. And there was also a really successful, very popular home version of Mastermind. So that is an excellent one. Some of these are out there on streaming services, and some of them are also available for easy pickup on things like YouTube.
All right, here's Chris, a philosophical question that I've put way too much time into thinking about over the years, and it matters for your archive. When Survivor came out, right, people call it a reality TV show, but people were competing to win a prize at the end. It was Survivor, and are shows like that game shows that'll fit into your purview there?
That is such a perfect question, Rob. We were just having that conversation last week as we were defining some parameters. And the famous quote about pornography was, "I know it when I see it." And sometimes game shows are what you believe them to be. Is it The Bachelor? You're winning a spouse, or any of those dimensions. They're on a sliding scale. It's even trickier with things like cooking shows, where you're showing off a skill, you're winning, you're competing. I am most inclined to think of the ones that your listeners are bringing up so far, the ones that have an established host, have a studio audience. Some of those, they're definitely the classic core definition of what a game show is, but it gets blurry, as you say, around the edges with cash prizes and winners and losers on loads of those reality shows.
Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Lynn is with us in Racine. Lynn, hi.
Hi. Yes, I've never been one to exercise on a regular basis. COVID and Drew Carey and The Price is Right, though, have got me into good shape. I exercise with Drew every morning at 10, with very few exceptions. So thanks to Drew and The Price is Right, he's my little guilty pleasure. That's my favorite game show.
Lynn, do you guess the prices? And do you ever guess the price correctly?
Not the price on the nose, but yeah, I play. And I've actually gone to see the live show, the traveling show. I've taken my mother and my son. So, I have done that.
Fantastic. So. Lynn, thank you so much for sharing that. So Lynn fits into her exercise routine. The Price is Right is, that's probably the right level of concentration for me. That makes a lot of sense, don't you think, Chris?
Yes, that's about my endurance capacity to do a half-hour game show. Perfect.
I love it, Lynn. Thanks for that. We'll go to Marcus now in Milwaukee. Marcus, hi.
Hey, no whammies, no whammies, and stop. Press your luck.
It's funny, Marcus, because the big bucks, no whammies, that phrase sticks with me. I have to really think about which show it came from. That was Press Your Luck, you're saying?
Yeah, it was Press Your Luck. The other one I liked, though, was stay home from school kind of sick day, was Hollywood Squares with Joan Rivers.
With Joan Rivers. Okay, Marcus, thank you so much for sharing that. Chris, Hollywood Squares is at that rotating cast. I know Paul Lynn was the center square. Joan Rivers was on it. Gilbert Gottfried was the center square for a long time. I don't know. It's providing a lot of work for celebrities over the years.
It did. And there were writers behind all of that. So they were sharp comedians, but they needed good content. And what we forget is they had lines and quips given to them, and they were scripts and jokes that we would love to capture and preserve for all time.
Marcus, thanks for a lot for that. And that reminded me, the catchphrases of, is that your final answer? Big bucks, no whammies, Marcus just mentioned. Survey Says from Family Feud, which we haven't talked to. Those are ways that they've really crept into American pop culture, Chris.
That's part of our language. Everyone understands those structures and those phrases. So, yes, they are really integral to who we are today.
All right, Chris, I got to ask you the big question. Would you be good on Jeopardy? In the moment, you're actually there in the studio. Do you think you could pull off a win?
I had a friend from graduate school who was on, and she was a smart woman, but she said her downfall was her buzzer skill. She wasn't hair trigger enough to actually press the button and get ahead of the other players. I worry that would be my downfall.
All right. And do you have a favorite show of all time that you'd love to go back and watch and maybe feature prominently at the archive?
I was a pyramid guy growing up. And as the price range has escalated, I will date myself by saying I was watching when it was merely the $20,000 pyramid.
Excellent. Chris, thanks as always for joining us. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks, Rob. You're a winner.
You too. That's Chris Bench, Chief Curator of the National Archives of Game Show History at the Strong Museum of Play in Rochester, New York. He joined us to talk about the brand new archive they have there and the impact of game shows on American pop culture and entertainment history. You can still let us know your favorite game show of all time. Head over to the Ideas Network Facebook page, scroll down a bit to find that conversation, or you can always tweet us at Central Time WPR. Tweet us at Central Time WPR, just with the name of a game show that you love or loved in the past.